So glad to be with you and just honored to be here as well. So we're getting to meet for just the very first time here, just to spend a few minutes together and in the scheme of life as well. And I just believe that you're here by divine order today. That God has something for you today. You may not hear it from me, but while I'm talking today, you may hear the Holy Spirit whisper to you something just for you. And I want to dive into the Word here this morning in our time and just spend some time in the Word today and see what God says to us. But if you will, just allow me just a moment. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for these wonderful people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here today, for the authenticity of this time together, this church family and its leaders. I pray over the next few minutes that while I'm speaking, that you'll speak to the hearts of every person here. A special word, a word just for them, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for loving us so much and allowing us to love you and each other. Amen. Amen. Well, in the very first book of the Bible, I want you to imagine with me, if you will, we understand by reading that God would come down in the Garden of Eden that he created for mankind and created man, Adam and Eve, and God would walk with them in the garden. Can we just try in our limited imagination to think, what was that like? This was the God that spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light in the universe. This is the God that separated the mountains from the valleys and the oceans, and he created all the fish and all the animals and all the trees. The garden is so beautiful, like this city, the Garden City, where you have so many beautiful plants and more to come. And God would walk. I don't know what form, but he would come and walk with them. Some way I kind of think he just made himself look like Adam and Eve, like one of the guys, and just walk with them in the garden. What a perfect, perfect world. But then something happened. Adam and Eve sinned. They were deceived. And they did something God told them not to do. And they lost that intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. What a sad day. And here we are today. Thousands of years went by until once again that same phenomena happened and occurred on planet Earth. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without him." And then in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." What is the Word? The Word is Jesus. And Jesus became flesh. And once again, God incarnate is walking on planet Earth. But now, it's not a Garden of Eden. It's a different situation. But he called 12 men to walk with him. And once again, God is walking with mankind and talking with him and eating and going down the dusty roads and doing life together with these 12 men. Can't imagine what that was like. I don't think they fully understand. In fact, I know by reading the Word, they didn't really fully understand the awesomeness of the moment until after the resurrection. They're walking with God, the presence of the Almighty. And then Jesus says something to them one day that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. John's gospel records it in chapter 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you a truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." What? Are you kidding me? How could it be to my advantage for the God of creation, the Word became flesh, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, he which was, which is to come. God, how is it to our advantage that you're going to leave? And then he went on and he said this, "Because if I don't go away, the helper's not coming. But if I go, if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, the helper Jesus is referring to here is the Holy Spirit. One of the most important subjects in the teaching in the Bible is about the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said about the role of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. You know, anytime we study the Bible together, it's to gather, first of all, gather biblical information from which we can receive spiritual revelation that translates into practical application. You see, I don't preach anything on Sunday that won't work on Monday. And quite frankly, everything in the Bible will work on Monday and Tuesday as well. See, mankind and religion sometimes makes God so difficult to understand, and yet Jesus revealed the Father in a very clear and simple, understandable way. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everybody shout life. We all want life, don't we? We want abundant life. Jesus said, hey, that's why I came. But how can we live that? How is that accessed in our lives? Well, it's accessed through the Holy Spirit. You see, in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus is already schooling his disciples. He begins to talk to them in verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. Everybody shout helper. He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him, sees him, or knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. Then in chapter 15, he's compounding, he's layering that teaching, and he says, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify, he'll talk to you, he'll reveal me to you. And then, of course, in John 16:7 that I've already quoted, he said to them, it's better that I go away, because if I don't, I can't send the helper. In verse 12, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not ready to receive it now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. Not just a little bit of truth, but all truth. For he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you, and all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He's trying to help his disciples understand why it's better that he goes away, because the Holy Spirit will do all of these things for them and with them. But then after his resurrection, he dies. They watch him die. He's crucified. He's beaten beyond recognition, a crown of thorns on his head. He hangs on the cross and says, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. His purpose was finished. His assignment was finished. But then in 3 days later, the grave couldn't hold him. He comes out of that grave. And then for 40 days, he walks and he talks and he visits with them. And now he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, only to return again someday. And here's what he said to them in Acts 1:4-8. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, which is the Holy Spirit of the Father. He said to them, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom? When is he going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They didn't seem to be paying attention to what he was saying. They tried to get off track onto something else. And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father's put him on authority, but you will receive power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. That word helper is the word, and I know you've been taught this here at Cornerstone Church, paraclete. It means one called alongside to help. Jesus is saying, I'm not giving the Holy Spirit to you to do the work for you. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to work with you. I want to share 4 quick things that the Holy Spirit does, gives you power to do. The first one is power to learn. Say that with me, power to learn. That means to comprehend or understand. In John 16, he says, he'll guide you into all truth. When I grew up, I heard a saying that went something like this, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. Does that make sense? Have you ever tried to explain something to somebody and they just didn't get it? Don't point at anybody right now. I mean, you went over it, and they're just like, I don't understand. Well, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. See, when you try to read the Bible on your own, you're reading it, but sometimes you can't understand it. It's the Holy Spirit that understands it for you, that reveals it to you, that gives you what we call revelation knowledge, or rhema from the Word of God, that, aha, I see that. I see that God loves me. I see that God cares for me. I see that His Word is truth and the devil's word is a lie. I see His plan for my life. I see it. I understand it. He gives us power to learn. You know, many people have a misconception about God. When I was growing up as a young man and a teenager, the preaching style that I grew up under was I wouldn't call it harsh, but it was very passionate. And when the preacher would preach about people going to hell, you kind of thought he was happy that they were. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if he wasn't mad, he wasn't anointed. And sometimes I felt like. I felt like that God was this mean old man with a stick in his hand. And he's just watching Gary. And if Gary messes up, if Gary says a bad word, whack, he's going to whack Gary. If Gary has a bad thought, whack. If Gary has a sarcastic statement, whack. But that's not God. That's not who my Heavenly Father is. Now, I'll be honest with you, as a teenager, I really committed to serve my life to the Lord out of fear, because that preacher preached every Sunday that you're going to hell, the rapture's about to take place, hell is hot, and you don't want to go. So I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But then I learned about my Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. And now I don't serve Him out of fear, I serve Him out of love. I love Him. I love Him. Jesus said in one of the scriptures I read earlier to you, if you love me, I don't keep the commandments because they're rules. I keep them because I love Him. Some people think God is an old man, decrepit. He's sitting on a throne and He's got a long white beard and He's got a cane. And just goes like this. And church is a place where we come visit this old man every week. Once a week, it's like an old folks' home. And we come visit God because He's just old. Oh, no, 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 no. He's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. The elders are flying around the throne right now crying, holy, 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 24 hours a day if there is a day in heaven. Constantly in eternity, they're crying out, holy, holy. He's God. He's almighty. He's the creator of the universe. He's not weak and He's not blind. He's holy. What does that mean? It means He's perfect. There's no bad. There's no sin. There's no wrong. He's omniscient. What does that mean? It means that He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's always present. He's loving. He's caring. Isaiah says the Lord is a just God. You know, if I were to sum up John chapter 16 in my own words of what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit, it would be this. He says there's a lot more things you need to know about God, about ministry, about life. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all those things. And He'll help you throughout your life to not only know about God, but to experience God and share God with others. You ever need any help in life? The Holy Spirit will help you to learn. One of the things that I've learned throughout my life is God never changes, but what I know about God changes. Every day I can have a fresh revelation of something about God. People says, well, they changed their theology. No, they just, their knowledge expanded to know more about God. A week from now, I hope I know something else about God I don't know now. I want to know something more about Jesus, about His love, about His grace, about His power, about everything about it, Jesus. I can. Why? Because He left and He sent the promise, the Holy Spirit, to live in me and with me, to reveal Jesus and testify of Him. The Holy Spirit not only gives me power to learn, He gives me power to lead. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power. Everybody shout power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power. Now, there's three key words in that verse. There's power and be and witness. Let's look at power. Once again, I know you have great teaching here at Cornerstone Church. That Greek word means is dunamis, and it means strength and power and mighty. It's the word that we derive the English word dynamite from. Dynamite, which is an explosive force. How many of you ever watched an American movie or any kind of movie that they used to, in the westerns, American westerns movies, they'd have these guys with what they call a stick of dynamite. It was about this long brown wax paper, and they put a fuse in it and light the fuse and throw it at there. How many of you ever seen that on movies anywhere? Wave at me if you can, all over the building. Yeah, most everybody. When I was 18 years old, I was actually a youth leader in our church at that time, but there was no preachers in my family, and my pastor really wasn't a mentor. He was a good preacher from the pulpit, but he wasn't a mentor. And I had no one to turn to, really. There was a call of God on my life, but I didn't know how to process that. I didn't know how to follow it. I didn't know how to that. And so I went to work where my dad worked, where my grandfather worked, where my uncles worked. You see, we lived in Kentucky, as she said earlier. And you know one thing about Kentucky, and what is that? Fried chicken. And you know, if that's all you know, that's enough. That'll get you to heaven right there, if that's all you know. You know, Kentucky Fried Chicken is known around the world. I was in Pakistan in June. I ate Kentucky Fried Chicken. We were in Ireland and Scotland earlier this month. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. And you know what it is here. Yeah. Didn't you know that Colonel Sanders got saved in a friend of mine's church in Louisville, Kentucky? Many, many years ago, you know, in our younger years, he got saved there. So that way I know that in heaven we will have Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm telling you, if it's in every country on planet Earth, you get to heaven, you know there's going to be a KFC sign, you know, somewhere on the road going to your mansion. There's got to be. There's got to be. Because Jesus loves chicken, right? He must love chicken because he made so many of them. But you know, there's something else Kentucky is known for if you lived in the United States. It is known for coal, C-O-A-L, coal that's used to burn and make electricity. There's an eastern coal field and a western coal field. We grew up in the western coal field, and my daddy and my uncles and my grandfathers worked in the underground coal mines. They had surface mines where they took big machines and took the dirt off. But then when it got down so far, that was not economical. So they would drill shafts down and slopes and go down and mine the different layers. There's multiple layers of coal, not just one. And my parents and all my family worked in the coal mines. It was a major industry. And my wife's dad did too. When I was 18, I went to work in the underground coal mines. I worked in the underground coal mines for 12 years. The ceiling was about this tall, so here's the floor and here's the ceiling. And so that's the space you worked in. So when you walked, you had to walk like this because the ceiling was like right here. And everything was proportionate, equipment and everything. And my first job in the coal mines where they mined the coal was called a shooter. And what it was is I carried two vinyl bags with me, and one I had blasting caps, and the other one I had those brown wax paper sticks of dynamite that you've seen on TV. It was nitroglycerin-based. I had to be careful. I couldn't drop one because a piece of equipment could run over it, and it would explode. So I had those, and they had a machine that drilled holes into the coal, like 10 feet back into the coal with a big auger. And because the coal is a solid seam, it's hard, and they can't load it unless it's busted up, unless it's small pieces. And so after they did that, I would crawl up in there, and I would take a blasting cap and stick it in the end of one of those sticks of dynamite and slide it in there, and whatever the boss told me, anywhere from 3 to 4 more sticks behind that for every hole. Every place that I would blow up, I would explode the coal, would have anywhere from 20 to 25 sticks of dynamite. It was what we called a three-way, it could have 75 to 80 sticks of dynamite at one time. And I would get around the corner, just around the corner, And I had a battery that I hooked to a cable that was wired up to all the blasting caps. And I had a light on my cap, and I would shake it like this, and I would yell this three times, "Fire in the hole, fire in the hole, fire in the hole." And that last time I hit the button on that battery, it sent a shock through all of the electrical caps. They would explode the dynamite, and it would blow that coal out. The smoke would come around the corner. The powder smoke so thick, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. And that was my job as an 18-year-old. But I know the power of dynamite. I know the power of what it can do. It would blow that coal in little pieces. What was seemingly solid is now just, you could shovel it up if you wanted to. That's what God is saying about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to have power. You're going to have power to be witnesses. I can't tell anybody about Jesus. Get close to the Holy Ghost. You can tell anybody about Jesus. Oh, I can't do anything for Jesus. Yes, you can, because he's given you the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to live in you, to be with you, to empower you to accomplish what God wants you to do. We came up with a phrase a few years ago, I can't do everything, but I can do everything I can. You might not be able to do everything, but you can do everything that God wants you to do, God enables you to do, God empowers you to do, but it comes through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Second word in that verse is be, B-E. This refers to being, not doing. See, we're called by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's doing. But before we begin our doing, we must first address our being. What we be will affect what we are able to do. And I've learned that if I focus more on being, it's easier for me to do the doing in life. The third word in that verse is witness. And the Greek word for witness there, believe it or not, is martyr. Martyr. It means to give one's life for a cause. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will give us power that's beyond our human ability to do things that's beyond our human ability. It's called supernatural power. And it comes through relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us power to learn. It gives us power to lead. And it also gives us power to lift. See, what do you mean? You know, in Acts chapter 9, there's a story about Peter and John going to prayer one day. And there's this guy laying by the gate. They're about to go in. He's there every day. He's a grown man. He's lame. He doesn't have an education. There's no government subsidies. There's nobody helping him other than to get there and set him there. Every day is the same. His life is the same every day. Sit and beg. Sit and beg. That's his life skill. Sit and beg. And one day Peter and John walk by and he's begging for alms. And Peter says, "Hey, look on us." The guy had an expectation. I'm going to get a good offering now. They're going to give me some money. But then Peter says something odd. He says, "Silver and gold have I none." Does that mean Peter was broke? No. Peter had a fishing business. He had employees that were running his fishing business while he was following Jesus. Because when Jesus died, what did Peter? Peter said, "I'm going fishing." He went back to his fishing boats where he had a business, and they were all fishing. Peter wasn't broke. What he was saying was, "I don't have money to invest in your dysfunction. Because if I give you money today, you're going to be back here tomorrow doing the same thing. But I got something that'll change your situation. What I've got today is power in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." He reached down, took his hand, lifted him up. Everybody say lifted. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, strength came into his legs and his ankles and his feet. And he began to walk and he began to run and he began to jump and he began to dance and praise God. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit to lift him. Money couldn't lift him. Encouraging words couldn't lift him. Empty promises couldn't lift him. Religious ceremonies couldn't lift him. Traditions couldn't lift him. Pity couldn't lift him. Compromise couldn't lift him. But somebody with the power of the Holy Spirit working through two men lifted him up and changed his life. And 5,000 people came to Jesus that day. Why? Because the power to lift. Do you need lifting up today? I'm telling you, the same Holy Spirit that was there that day at that gate is right here today. He's right here today to lift you today. One more thing. It gives us power to live. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. Power to live through the good times, the bad times, the great times, the not so great times. So being a child of God doesn't it doesn't isolate us from life. It inoculates us. That's why the Bible says you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You don't need to be a conqueror if you don't have any battles. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I said the greater one's on the inside of you. But I don't feel. I said the greater one's on the inside of you. Start declaring, decreeing the word of God over your life. Quit declaring and decreeing the lies of the devil over your life. I'm sad. I'm beat down. Nobody likes me. I'm not worthy. Shut up. Start talking about yourself the way Jesus talks about you. He loves you. He cares about you. He created you in his image, and his image is a winning image, not a losing image. You may have heard about this story. I don't know, but there's a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Interesting name. He was a very wealthy businessman in Chicago, Illinois. It's about a 7-hour drive from where we live. But he was there in the 1800s. Had a lot of real estate, a lot of wealth, but in 1871, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out most of everything he had. Just about ruined him. For whatever reason, he sent his wife and 4 daughters to Europe. He was going to come later. He's finishing up some business affairs. But on their way, their ship hit another ship. It sunk, and his 4 daughters drowned. Man, add insult to injury. The famous telegram that was sent back to him by his wife once she did reach shore in Europe was saved alone. 2 words, saved alone. As soon as he could, he got on a ship headed that way, and he asked the captain if, whenever you get to the spot approximately where the ship went down with my 4 daughters, would you let me know? The captain said yes, and he did. And as he stood out on the bow of that ship and he looked out into that vast ocean, the grave for his 4 daughters, he wrote this song. The first verse goes like this: when peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And then he says, oh Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as the scroll. The trumps shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And if you know the old hymn, the old chorus, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. I want the worship team come, if you will. And if you will, just go back to that song, Here in Your Presence.
Oh, Here in Your Presence.
I want you to just start singing it softly, if you will. We live in a world that's not perfect, a world that's full of pain, a world that's full of deception. You name it, it's got it. But we also live in a world that was created by our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. I'm going to send you the helper. You and I have a helper today. He's just as strong today as he was with Peter and John when they raised that old boy up from being lame. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful today as when the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit is just as real and just as powerful today as in the book of Acts chapter 2 when it fell upon 120 people. They began to prophesy. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And 3,000 people got saved. After a guy who had denied Jesus weeks before now stands up with authority and says, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about in the last day. They're not drunk like you think they are. They may be drunk, but not like you think. 3,000 people came to the Lord. What made the difference in a loudmouthed preacher named Peter? The helper. What makes a difference in our lives today? The helper. The helper. Rose and I have lived our lives by this motto. If God has ever done anything for anybody, at any time, at anywhere, He'll do it for us right here, right now. I don't have all the answers to all the questions, let alone the problems, but I can read. And my Bible tells me that God has equipped me with the person of the Holy Spirit if I'll believe Him, if I'll receive Him, and I'll love Him, I'll respect Him, I'll honor Him. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus says, don't you folks start anything till you go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise to come. Then you're ready to go. Don't start a magazine. Don't go to the government and get registered. Don't buy a building and start a church. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive the promise from the Father. Then you're going to be ready to do something for the kingdom. And they did. And we do today. You know, the three areas today that you may need to be lifted. One is your heart. You may be sitting here today and you're not right with God. That's not a mean statement. It's just accurate. We're all born not right with God. We need a Savior. I've learned that we're never more than one simple, sincere prayer of repentance away from the love and grace of God. And I'd love to lead you in that prayer in just a moment. Maybe you're having mental attacks, anxiety, worry, fear. You watch the news. I've watched many of the videos of Nepal. I've been to Nepal. I preached in Nepal. I've got friends in Nepal. Can't imagine. Sorrow. Wars. Rumors. All kinds of stuff that's going on. Economies around the world. And people like you and I are just people trying to live through our life. We can't really change a lot of that. But what we can change is our destiny and how we live. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. That word care means anxiety, fear, and worry. I'm not living in fear. I'm not going to live a life in worry. Well, what if you die tomorrow? I'll be in heaven. That's an upgrade. I've flown a few miles in my lifetime, and there's been a few instances because I fly coach. There's been a few instances when I boarded the plane, they changed my ticket and they've upgraded me to first class. The last time I was in Singapore, we flew to Seoul. I started to get on the plane and they changed my ticket. They upgraded me to first class. It's like, oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I can't believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, that's nothing compared to the upgrade. If I breathe my last breath here, I'm going to breathe my first one in heaven with Jesus. That's an upgrade that you can't top anywhere. I'm not praying to go tomorrow, but I'm not going to live in fear about it.
What's going to happen in the world? I don't know.
But I know Jesus, and I know I'm in His hand. And I know whatever happens, I want to be positioned to carry the power of the Holy Spirit to this generation, to people that need it. You can live a life. It can be storming around you, but you can be at peace because the one that's in the boat with you is at peace. Jehovah Shalom, our provider. Maybe today you got a physical need. Probably every one of us has some kind of physical need. But you may be battling some kind of chronic disease or some accident you've had or some problem or whatever it could be, a thousand different things. I don't know everything there is to know about healing, but I know the healer. I know the Bible says the Lord God, that He is the Lord God that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. I know that the Bible says that everywhere Jesus went, He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He's wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, if Jesus is the same, the Holy Spirit is the same. And there's healing in Him. There's healing in Him. Would you just bow your head? Just close your eyes all over this building. Shut everything else out but Jesus. If you're not right with God, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. You say, Pastor, I want to know that I know that I know that Jesus has forgiven me as my sins. You can have an assurance on the inside of your heart and life. You can know. The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, I want you to pray this short prayer with me out loud, loud enough to hear yourself. And family, help me. Every one of you, help me, if you will, lead these people. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for reaching out to me.
Thank you for reaching out to me.
And today, Jesus,
I'm reaching back.
I ask you now.
Come into my heart and life.
Forgive me of my sins.
Change my life forever.
I give my life to you, Jesus.
All my hopes and dreams.
All of my hurts and pains. I lay them at the cross. And I receive you
as
my Lord and Savior.
I boldly
say, with my new faith,
I am forgiven.
Born again.
Saved.
And I'll never, never, never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now stand to your feet and give the Lord a great standing ovation right now, all over this place. I want them to sing this song right now. As they sing it, I'm going to speak and declare over you this morning. If you need your mind healed, if you need peace to come upon your life, just agree with me as I pray and as they sing. If you need to touch in your body, just put your hand over your heart and begin to declare, Jesus, you are my healer. Jesus, you are my healer. Come on, sing it this morning. Sing it this morning.
Here in your presence.
Your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are.
Speak to fear and command it to go in the name of Jesus. You have no place there, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't stand there. Fear, be gone. I release the peace of God that passes all understanding in every heart and every mind. We walk in assurance of our relationship with you from this day forward. We'll sleep at night, wake up refreshed in the morning. Let health and healing flow. Life into every cell of everybody, every physical body. Let every cell come in line with the Word of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done, established in their body. I pray for the gifts of the Spirit to be released, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith right now to touch people, to lift them up, Lord. Let there be miracles, 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 miracles in the name of Jesus. Gifts of healings, multiple flowing into people's bodies right now, in your presence, in your presence, in your presence, in your presence, we declare today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, today, minister life, minister life, minister life on this family, minister life,
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And here in your presence.
Yesterday I spoke a word and I spoke prophetically because at Aroma on Wednesday in the worship, the Lord said, I'm releasing a breaker's anointing over this congregation. I'm releasing a breaker's oil over this house. You know, and the word dunamis, the word dynamite, and that's really powerful. It's a powerful word. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon a people, He comes and He puts power upon His people. Dynamite, dunamis. And I spoke yesterday and I said, you know, when the Philistines were delivered into the hands of David, and David declared this very statement, right? He said, you know, the Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of waters. And he called that place Bel Perazim. And the term, the name Bel Perazim literally means the owner of breakthroughs and, listen, the master of explosions. Come on. Bel Perazim, the owner of breakthroughs and the master of explosions. Talk about dunamis, talk about dynamite. And I prophesied over the congregation last evening. I said, listen, the Lord says no more delays, no more delays. He is the breaker. He goes before us. That's the Holy Spirit's JD. That's the job description of the Holy Spirit. He's the breaker. He goes before us. He breaks open even the hardest and the toughest bars of iron. He says, I open and I break into pieces the gates of bronze. He says, I go before you and I make the crooked path straight. And that's the breaker's anointing. That's what God does. And I ended my sermon and I said, I use Leah as an example. High praise is going to be the key strategy of releasing the breaker's anointing that will cause the people of God to break through. It's going to be the shouts of victory. It's going to be the shouts of triumph. It's going to be the shouts of high praises unto the Lord. That's exactly the song that Pastor Gary sang earlier on, It Is Well With My Soul. Like Job, you know, you give, you take away, but my soul will still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was when Jacob, her husband, his heart was turned towards Rachel, not Leah. And Leah wanted to gain the affection, the love of the husband. And so she bore him many sons. And but Jacob's heart never turned to Leah until when Leah postured her heart by the fourth son. And Leah said, I'm going to name this son Judah. And Judah means praise. Yehuda, praise. And Leah said, yet will I praise you, God, even if my husband's heart doesn't love me, even if my husband his affection is not turned towards me, I will still praise you. And that's when Jacob's heart turned towards Leah. And when Jacob died, he didn't say, bury me beside Rachel, whom I love. He said, bury me beside Leah. And by the way, it was out of Leah's lineage that came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I believe that high praise is going to be the key strategy from the people of God that's going to release such an anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's going to release the dunamis power. The master of explosions is going to work on our behalf. What used to be impenetrable, what used to be immovable, diseases that have not bowed to the knees, to the cross of Jesus Christ, has not bowed its knees to the cross of Christ. I tell you what, the breaker is coming and he's releasing a breaker's oil in our midst. These things are going to be broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God's raising up high praise in this place. A people who knows to declare. Praise needs to be proclaimed. You can't fold your arms and keep your mouth shut and say, I'm praising God in my heart. No such thing. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. say so. It's a declaration. It's a proclamation. And when you open your mouth and declare a high praise unto the Lord, the atmosphere starts to shift. Things start to move. Chains start to break. Walls start to come down. There's something about high praise that the Lord is teaching us in this house. You know, and last night we ended with a praise party, and I tell you, it was so triumphant. I've got a little video I'll show you soon, but it was such a triumphant victory. And I want to say this over Cornerstone Orchard. The tide is changing. The atmosphere is breaking. I don't know about you, but every time I come, every weekend, I come with a heart of expectancy because I know God's doing something. He's got something up his sleeves. People have come up to me after services every weekend. Pastor, I don't know what is it about the atmosphere of Cornerstone Orchard, but I sit in my seat and I'm weeping. I'm weeping. I'm weeping. I come into Cornerstone Orchard. I walk out healed from my depression. Chains are being broken. And I say yes and amen. God is doing something. He's releasing his dunamis. The Holy Spirit is working in supernatural ways that we've never seen before. We've not moved in the dimension as yet. But I'm telling you, Cornerstone Orchard, get ready because God is pouring out his breaker's oil. There is a breaker's anointing. The breaker, he goes before us. He goes before us. Even if I will still yet praise you, God. And that shifts something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. But even if you threw us into the fire, we will not bow our knees to idol. Even if our God does not show up in the fire, the furnace of fire to rescue us, we will still pledge our allegiance to Jehovah. Even if, Esther, even if I perish, I perish. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's an upgrade. It's a real upgrade to see Jesus, the one we love, face to face. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Even if I die, I die. Even if I perish, I perish. Yet will I praise you, God. And that releases the Spirit to move on our behalf. Now, I'm telling you, something is shifting in this place. Lay hold of God. Lay hold of God, people of God. Lay hold of Him. Let me show you what happened last night. And I tell you, it's an overflow. It's going to overflow. It's only going to overflow. Can we just quickly show the video? Well, it's a bit pixelated, but I tell you, the whole atmosphere, it was triumphant. It was victorious. We had so much fun, didn't we? Oh. We opened the doors and I said, let the overflow people come in. Let the people in the overflow room come in. And people were coming in and they were dancing, you know, prophetically at the altars and the open spaces. Thank you for the video. We can stop that now. But man, I tell you, there is triumph in the atmosphere. There is victory in the atmosphere. God, the breaker, is going before us. He's going before us. Can we show the photo? This was an aroma. It was a packed out crowd. We had overflow. I mean, the overflow room behind was just packed out as well. And, you know, so come and join us. I feel like God's doing something in this place. Let's strike while the iron is hot. Let's not miss the tide. You know, we were all suffocating inside here because it was so hot, you know. But we're going to take it to the hall, this hall, next month onwards, okay? Aroma has no agenda. We're just ministers unto the Lord. We come and all we do is worship, ministry to the Lord's heart, just worshiping Jesus, gazing upon the one we love, our beloved, and just letting Him break through. And so come and join us. This is Aroma, but lift up your hands to the Lord. We're going to end with praise, okay? But let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you, God, when the Holy Spirit comes, God, you start to move on our behalf, God. Things that were impenetrable, God, things that were immovable, things that have been long delayed, a revival that has been long delayed, the moves of God that have been long delayed, that breakthrough that has been long delayed, God, there shall be no more delays. There shall be no more delays. And so, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives and in this house, God. And we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you in the fullness of your presence and in the fullness of your power. God, we yearn and we desire to see the Holy Spirit's power demonstrated. God, Paul said, I don't come in the words of persuasive human wisdom. I come in the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, God, demonstrate yourself in this place. Demonstrate yourself in this place. God, we thank you. Teach us what it means, God, to come into this place of the dunamis, God. Teach us, God, even as you go before us as the breaker who breaks open even the bars of iron, God. Our mouths will be filled with laughter and joy and singing. God, our feet will be tapping and dancing, God, because that's what always happens when breakthrough happens. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream, and it says that our mouths were filled with joy. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our mouths were filled with singing. And so, Lord, I pray, establish this work here in Cornerstone, God. We bless you. We thank you for the word. Seal it in the hearts of your people, God, by the blood of Jesus, God. I just thank you. Release the Holy Spirit. Release the Holy Spirit in our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.